This is BBC Radio 4. Now our drama gives us another opportunity to visit the premises of Carter & Sons in South Norwood, where for the last century, a cavernous warehouse has been accumulating artefacts and secrets.
The Carter Mysteries, The Incident of the Russian Visitors, by Jonathan Holloway.
Our store's full now. We badly need to do a massive clear out. Phil, my father-in-law, he just won't get on with it. It's hard for him to think about the future, since Andy, his son, my husband, since Andy... Carter and Sons, but no Sons anymore, eh? Anyway, he knows if he doesn't wake up soon, we'll be bust. He just can't... you know, get going, I suppose. So, it was a Tuesday morning, late summer. Phil was trying to fit more boxes into the store, so I'd shut up and stop nagging him.
Hello? Hello? Okay. You're okay? No, straighten up. Yeah, straighten up. Come. Straighten up! Oh, bad luck. But you're through. Morning.
You'll need the bigger gate.
Yeah, well, it was put up 130 years ago.
That's a bad scratch.
Victor, it's okay. These things happen. We manage with our wagons. I'd say there's plenty of room for your average Zill.
What does he mean? It's a Mercedes-Benz, not a Zill.
I'm just showing off. I know where you're from. I think they look like great cars, those Zills. Like the big old V8 American cars in Cuba. Ridiculous, of course.
Are you ecologist?
No, not really.
Back home, Mr. Putin, he knows what to do with ecologists.
Well, you're not home, are you?
You are, Mr. Carter.
I am indeed.
My name is Dmitry Semyonov. This is my colleague, Victor. We have come to see you about your antique furniture.
Well, I'm afraid I'm not really a dealer, Mr.
Sure, but you sell things, eh?
Now and then.
You have not filed accounts with Company's House for 2 years.
Well, thank you for your interest.
You have a big store here. It's a surprise.
Yeah, well, all that belongs to other people. My great-grandfather promised if a removal went wrong, then Carter and Sons would store the client's belongings until they could collect them. Huh? Then came the First World War. Spanish flu, the Great Depression, the Second World War.
What if they don't collect their things?
Because they are dead.
I have money, Mr. Carter. I'm here to do business.
Uh-huh. What are you looking for?
Morning.
Good morning, Mrs. Carter. Lisa.
How do you know my name?
I am sorry for your loss. Afghanistan.
What?
I lost 2 uncles there.
Different war.
Different army, same war.
Dad?
Hmm?
Wake up. I've got your coffee when you want it. Help these gentlemen out, won't you?
Yeah, all right, Lisa. Don't show me up.
Good hips.
Keep calm and carry on, Dad.
Right.
It was a compliment.
You're not her dad.
No, some days I'm Phil. Sometimes I'm Dad. It depends.
We believe you have a table in your store. We want to buy it.
Tables I've got coming out of my ears.
Is he crazy?
I'm sure Mr. Carter is not crazy. Are you?
Oh, over some things. Kent Cobbs in the autumn. My grandson, Bobby.
To business, Mr. Carter. During the Russian Revolution, stolen items came to England. Now there are men with money who want to buy them back. We are employed by such a man. He's looking for a particular table, black, with gilded decoration. It is very heavy. Do you understand?
Oh, yeah, I understand, yeah. I can't remember seeing anything like that.
You have records?
We did. They got lost. When did he come to England?
1919, from Sebastopol, aboard a British ship.
And you've got a name?
The embassy in London has shipping files. We know it was delivered to here by horse and cart, but no name.
1919? Mm-hmm. It could be 50 feet back, 100 feet. Look, our store is like an ocean abyss. It's fathomless. My uncle had problems with a local family after one of their cousins disappeared in there during the war. They never found him. Maybe he did a bunk to avoid the army.
You have bills to pay.
Look, is there anything unlawful about this?
In our country, the lines between official and private enterprise, they're not so clear.
Yes, I wouldn't want anything coming back on us.
Don't worry. You are unimportant.
Oh, well, thank you for the compliment. Your hands. Tattoos. They're impressive.
You have many bills to pay. And you were in prison, too. We do our homework.
Just find the table.
I think you and your friend better go.
Why are you playing games?
This is business, Mr. Carter, and you will be well paid. This can be easy, but if you make things difficult, then it's okay, too.
I need time to think.
Hey, Phil, your coffee's getting cold.
Right. Goodbye, Mr. Semirnov.
Phil? Is everything all right? The van boys are on their way.
You don't have van boys. You employ casual laborers, war veterans. One has a metal stick for a leg. They are on a job out of London today. Victor, get in the car.
I also have a police detective friend who's coming over here.
I think it's good for a widow not to live in the past.
What do you mean?
Mr. Carter, are you listening to me? Today is Tuesday. I shall be back on Friday, very early. I will have more men and a truck. You will have the table ready. If you do not do this, then you are no use to us, and we shall steal the table in any case, and you'll get nothing, except maybe a stay in hospital, if you behave foolishly.
What did you say?
We have compassion. This is an opportunity for you.
I don't trust you.
This is an opportunity for you. I agree. Maybe we don't have so much compassion.
This is England.
You do not understand. We can do what we like. No one will stop us. Friday. 3 days.
I feel like I'm changing, like I don't know my old self, or that my old self is retreating into the distance, waving as she goes, and I don't know who I am without her. When Andy died, the world became strange, like that feeling you get when you've been on holiday and you come back and for a few days your world isn't quite right, isn't the place that you recognise as home. Andy was my home. I'm a lodger now.
Gull, do something, will you?
What do you want me to do?
Pardon?
They've managed not to commit a crime.
Excuse me, I'd say they've managed to not commit a crime with menaces.
I can't arrest people for being unpleasant.
Well, you could be here when they come back.
Morning. Why the long faces? Morning, Inspector Shaheen.
Morning, Stephen.
Hello, Carter and Sons.
It's me. Oh, hello, Dell. What's up?
Sorry, Phil. We've been pulled over by the police. We're in a lay-by on the hog's back near Guildford.
You're joking.
Overloaded. There's going to be a fine and points. They won't let us go until we offload some of the stuff, and then both vans will be accompanied to our weighbridge.
What's happening now?
I'll get a van to you. Look, is there room to back up another truck behind and transfer half the furniture?
Yeah, it's fine.
Great. Radio says it'll stay dry.
Doesn't sound good.
We need to talk, Phil. If this happens again, I'll lose my licence. See ya.
Toodaloo. They got on the hog's back and your lot pulled them.
What for?
Overloaded.
I asked you if we needed a 7-tonner.
Stephen, get round a budget, sort out a transit, and then phone Derek with an ETA.
I'm already there, boss.
Extra hire costs, and we'll have to pay Derek's fine.
I didn't think we'd need a 7-tonner.
It was a false economy, though, wasn't it?
I didn't know Stephen could drive.
Phil got him through his test.
You said it wasn't worth it because he wouldn't stick around, but he has.
Putting the sun back in suns. Well, if we sell that table, we can afford a decent enough bung, so Derek will take the points without arguing.
You too. I'm a policeman, remember?
Phil, please, just go and look for that table.
You go. You rummage around in all that filth.
You know I don't go in there. Everything in that warehouse has a story. Vibrations and that.
Yeah, I forgot you're clairvoyant.
The correct word is sensitive. Don't look at me like that. It's real, and I'm not ashamed. It's a pity you can't be more supportive. Now then, we have to make some money, don't we?
What we need is for you to do your job, Inspector Shaheen.
Don't start on Gull just because those gangsters terrified you and now you're all wounded. You phoned Gull and he came.
I didn't phone him.
I was on my way over.
Hey? Why?
I'm sorry, but I've shut down the work on your flats.
What? Oh, I don't believe this.
Your builders were pulling up the laminate on the ground floor. They found blood under the old lino.
Oh, God help us.
Socor are in. We are searching records to see if the property has been linked to any known criminal activity.
Yeah, well, it never rains.
If you'd let me sell some of what's in the warehouse, I wouldn't have to mess about patching up our pathetic property portfolio.
Right, I'll be in touch.
Oi, just a minute. What about those mafia blokes?
Find the table and sell it to them. I suppose I could be here when they come back, but I don't know what good it would do. I'll let you know.
What do you mean? Why are you being all mysterious, girl? You used to listen to Andy's opinions.
Yeah, well, all this would have been his.
What's that supposed to mean?
I'm sorry. Of course, it's yours and Bobby's now. When I'm gone.
If there's still a business.
Yeah. It's 3 years now.
I know. There's a Stan Widows thing next month.
Hey, are you going?
No. Andy and me, we've been talking.
Lisa.
I agree. I think I've gone mad. You satisfied? Phil, I'd like to spend the evening with Gull. Drinking a meal over Crystal Palace. Would you look after Bobby?
Yeah, of course, if...
Andy doesn't mind. He said so. I don't know if the spirits and seances and all that are real or not, and I've decided it doesn't matter. I can't tell what goes on in other people's heads any more than they know what goes on in mine. I don't know that if I had your brain put in my head, I'd see the same colours you do. Or taste the same things. Maybe my pink is your gold. Maybe your sugary sweet is my salt and vinegar. How can we possibly know what another human hears, sees, or feels? I don't mind if I'm mad. I don't mind if the spiritualist church is rubbish. I don't mind if Andy's ghost, spirit, is real or not. If I believe he's real, and that's enough. Oh, anything to drink?
Hi, yeah, I've got some of my special whiskey here.
Oh, yes, please.
I thought you were going to be out late with Gull. What happened?
I spoke to him on the phone.
He said he's asking around about Dmitri and Victor. He'll be in touch tomorrow.
Yeah, but I thought I was babysitting because you two were on a date.
He looked at me.
Right. We're not talking about Gal, are we? I thought you weren't going over there again.
No, I never agreed.
They're nutters, Lisa.
How's Bobby?
Oh, he's fine. Settled down around 8. Got a takeaway delivered.
There's food in the fridge.
Bobby likes poppadoms.
This evening, it was a bit shocking.
You don't fit in there. Those people stink of loneliness.
Oh, I assure you, tonight I fitted right in.
Tell me.
If you don't start shaking your head and sighing.
Okay, I promise.
Greg put on a CD. He made us all relax and close our eyes. He had us imagining limitless, calming colours. Then he did the usual order of service, invited the spirits to visit with their messages. Then we opened our eyes and he was turning his head from side to side, saying, "The spirits want to come through."
And you think Andy was there?
No.
You said...
I'll get to that. So, Greg said there were two figures and they were mouthing my name, Lisa, and they were frightened. And Greg could see them in his mind, and one was holding up an old Will's tobacco tin, green, with letters painted on. And then Greg started shaking. His teeth were chattering. And he spelt out the letters on this box. And I wrote them down for him. Goliadkin. And then he really lost it. He was on the floor, trembling, crying like he was having a nightmare. And then he said, "Lisa, it's you they've come to speak to."
You didn't think he was putting it on?
Oh, he might have been, but I reckon if he was pretending, then weeing himself was going a bit far, don't you?
Yeah, I don't like him.
The spirits were desperate and then angry, and then they got inside him. He was cursing, really terrible, swearing like you wouldn't believe. You thought any minute he'd shake himself to bits. Ted's called an ambulance.
Oh, maybe he'll get charged for wasting their time.
No, not the state he was in.
You said he looked at you. You didn't mean Greg?
No.
I thought not.
Andy was there. Not at the start, but he arrived sometime during the séance. He was looking in at the window.
Lisa.
Oh, I'm sorry, Phil. I know it upsets you, but I can't lie. I saw my husband. He was wearing his beret and his tropical combats, exactly the same as the night he left for Bryce Norton.
Lisa.
And though he was right at the far end of the hall, I could hear his voice as if he was speaking close to my ear. "You watch out, Lisa. Those men will do anything. Give them what they want. Get rid of them." I asked myself if I am nuts. Truthfully, I don't think I could stand it if I thought I was, and it was just me. But then I reason it out. Well, everyone's nuts. Just look around you. People believe in all kinds of things without nearly as much proof as I've got. So my madness is at least of a less... a lesser magnitude? Is that right? Yeah, a lesser magnitude than some. I can live with that. I wish I didn't have to. But I can.
Oh, well, this is all we need.
Anything missing?
They busted the hasp and turned the office over.
Steve, go round to Mr. Hussein's, get a new hasp, bolts, padlock, oh, and a backing plate. Here's 20.
Right away, boss.
Oh, don't forget to ask for a receipt.
Well, this is just to let us know they've been.
And if they want to, they can take stuff without paying.
Shouldn't you investigate?
I don't think so.
Well, that doesn't sound very official.
I did some research on your Russians. Not nice. Hello?
Hello, is this the officer I see the West Norwood investigation?
It's me.
Oh, hello, Gull.
So how are we doing?
Nil for DNA. Bleach did for that.
I see.
And we can't identify hemoglobin.
So, outcome?
No evidence to speak of.
Right.
We can't find any associations for that address.
Thanks, Frank. Can you let Sarko know? Get the tape off the house and tidy up. Workmen need to get on so sharpish, I believe. Thanks. Bye, Frank.
Well, are we in the clear?
Well, your builders was calling the police yesterday. One of his chaps had a brainwave and had a go at the stain with bleach, which is the most efficient way of destroying DNA. There are no criminal associations with that building either. Not that we can trace on computer anyway. So, your blocks can go back to work.
Oh, that's very good.
Gull, you were going to say something about our foreign visitors?
I have a colleague at the Foreign Office. He called to say my name has popped up. Last night, someone in the Russian section accessed the folder I opened on your apartments.
Why would that interest them?
I wish I knew.
Well, I phoned Dan. He'll know what kind of table we're searching for.
McPherson?
Yeah, he knows his stuff.
He's fly. Don't get involved in any of his funny business.
I've known Dan a long time. Well, I'm going to start tidying up.
New hasp, bolts, padlock. Getting a bit of old drill steel for the back plate.
Great. Receipt?
Yep.
Thank you.
Lisa, fancy that drink later?
Let me get Bobby to bed, and then Phil can babysit.
Oh, can he?
I'll keep you company. Bring over my True Detective box set.
9, okay?
Yeah.
Bye, all.
I'll tell you, I do not like going this far inside. The light's no good. It's always freezing. Come on, Dan. Oh, and you can't hear the world outside at all.
Yes, the thickness of the walls, steady temperature and so on. But you're right, it's certainly got an atmosphere.
I don't like coming in by myself. I don't talk about it to Lisa much. That would be playing into her hands. She won't come in here, mind you.
I never.
Never bothered Andy, though.
But look at how 100 years of dust can turn itself into felt under rain.
Disgusting.
All this horsehair, human skin and animal droppings matted itself together. Jesus, what's that?
A skeleton cowboy.
Oh, God.
From a ghost train. Fairground, my bastard.
How old is it?
I don't know.
Well, if it's pre-plastic, which it looks like it is, then it'll be a real human skeleton. Boiled and mounted.
That's a lot of money, Phil.
This is brilliant.
Ah! Oh, God. Stephen, I'm on blood pressure tablets.
Sorry, keeps out the dust.
What?
The dust.
Oh.
Anyway, give us a hand, will you? I think I found something.
Where?
Over near the old staircase in a piano trolley. A thick canvas over it and all roped up.
Stephen, whereabouts?
Well, there's a pile of old tin deed boxes on top of it.
Where? Ah. That's the sort of size we're looking for.
It's roped up tight. Oh, that's a serious bit of tarpaulin.
Well, it's an old sail off a barge, maybe. You've got a lot of good stuff here. But the filth... God help us.
Use that box cutter I gave you, Stephen.
Yeah. Cut where the knots are. Do as little damage as possible. It's hemp. Interior designers buy it for decorating pubs and restaurants. That's good. Let's fold the canvas back carefully so we keep as much of the muck as possible contained.
Tell you what, you carry on. I'm going to fetch Lisa from the office.
That's it.
Righto.
Oh, my word.
Good.
Is that it?
Bloody ugly. Give us that bottle of water, Lisa.
There's something not correct. I mean, the paint's terrible, but the table itself is ridiculously heavy. Why would a thing like that be made out of hardwood? Stephen, give me your knife.
What's that?
Brown paper. The whole thing has brown paper gummed onto it. Pass me that bottle of water, Phil. And that rag. See.
What?
The paper was glued on, then painted to disguise what's underneath. See for yourself.
Well, it's very shiny.
Blimey.
Black lacquer on tropical hardwood. Hundreds of layers of varnish painted on and rubbed back over and over again. And I think we'll find, once the paper is removed... Yes. The mouldings at the corners are silver gilt. This is your table, Phil.
Oh, it's like a mirror.
You look at that little shiny patch and imagine the Romanov family seeing their own reflections in it.
What's it worth, Dan?
Well, it depends on condition. There could be cracks. Unlikely, though. It's been kept in perfect conditions.
Well, how old is it?
1900, thereabouts.
And definitely Russian.
Absolutely. It was made to go up against a wall, maybe under a mirror. They were always in pairs. Now, if someone owns the sister to this, they'll do anything to reunite them. And so would I.
There's a drawer.
Oh, yeah? Oh, you found it. You opened it.
Really? Mm-hmm. Nothing. Except a 100-year-old Russian bee.
Pull it right out. Look at the back. There might be a maker's name.
There's a label stuck on crooked.
Uh-huh.
The South Metropolitan Cemetery Company. Norwood Cemetery Catacombs. Aisle 3, Bay 4.
What?
But that's just up the blooming road.
But this is supposed to be a secret, right?
Looks like you've got a copper-bottom mystery on your hands, Phil. I am jealous.
There are ghosts. I was a cow when I was younger. I had sex with my best friend's uncle. He was 50 years old when I was 18. I did it just because I was curious. What would it be like? A cold curiosity. Like when animals stop and cock their heads sideways studying something. My feet just carried me to his front door, then to his living room sofa, to him, while my friend's auntie was out, and I didn't even think about it. He cried afterwards, and I looked at him and I didn't feel anything. And when I met Andy, I fell bang in love. The love of my life. Cosmic love, there was no arguing with it. He changed me in an instant, turned me from black and white to colour. It doesn't make sense to believe that can end just because a stranger lets off an IED under a Land Rover. It's impossible, surely. Be reasonable, that light can't just be switched off. It has to go somewhere. And I want to... No, I do believe I have found him again.
Hello, everyone. Sorry it took so long. I've been on to my friend at GCHQ, and he passed me on to a bloke in Whitehall. Where is Lisa?
I don't know.
Oh, here she comes.
Well, don't keep us in suspense.
Hey, you all right, Lisa?
It's like spooks.
Let's just go through the list. Russian gangsters, an expensive table discovered in your store with a mysterious message hidden in it, blood on the floorboards of a flat that belongs to you.
Well, the blood has nothing to do with the Russians, though.
I think we can assume they are linked, because my file on the blood's discovery was accessed by the Foreign Office.
Well, that might just be because you're connected to Carter and Sons, and they've been checking everyone out.
Maybe they've checked you out, Stephen.
You don't think they did, do you?
Obviously, we didn't know if there is any connection between the blood and the table. But I think I've come up with a pretty good theory. All right. Britain cut diplomatic relations when the Bolsheviks murdered Queen Alexander's nephew, Tsar Nicholas. Scotland Yard emptied their embassy of all files relating to exiled Russians in case the Bolsheviks came looking for them. All that stuff is digitized somewhere. It took the Whitehall bloke about 10 minutes to find out an elderly couple with a grown-up daughter rented your house back in 1923, before it was divided into flats. And they brought some furniture to England. They put a large item in store with George Carter and Sons at 509 Norwood Road, London, South East.
Did they have a name?
Golietkin.
The ghosts at the seance.
The Golietkin's rent was paid by the Russian government in exile. The couple were formal domestic servants from a Romanov holiday home in Sebastopol in the Crimea. But of course, we don't know whose blood that was or what happened to their daughter.
Well, at the seance, they were in a panic.
Lisa, there are no ghosts.
Don't be absurd. They're around every corner. We've got a warehouse full of them.
What?
It's why I don't like going in there. You all reckon it's too quiet inside. You've said so. But to me, it's like bedlam. I hoped Andy might be in there somewhere. So I put a chair outside under one of the side windows and sat in the sun with my eyes closed. And he came to the window above me and he explained something that I didn't quite understand until now. The Golietkins were murdered in that room. Hello, Carter and Sons Removals.
Good afternoon, Lisa. I should say, Mrs. Carter.
Afternoon.
It's him. It's Dimitri.
I promised I'd come to see you tomorrow. I hope we shall be able to conclude our business to everyone's satisfaction.
Well, I don't know about that.
I do.
Our friend Inspector Shaheen's here.
I know. We are watching you. We paid a visit a few nights ago, remember?
So you planted a camera?
What?
What?
I'm not standing here being looked at by you and God knows who else. Right, come on, everyone. Outside.
Oh, Lisa, Lisa.
This is ridiculous.
There could be a camera out here too.
Is there a camera in the yard as well?
No, there wasn't time.
You're probably lying. Who cares? Do you want to talk to Inspector Shaheen yourself?
Your inspector, he has his world, I have mine. He and I should not meet.
Sorry?
What?
We Russians are very important now. Not a funny joke anymore. Your government doesn't want problems. 11 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Apparently, you shouldn't be here tomorrow. Dimitri says it wouldn't be good.
My Foreign Office friend said the same.
No, hold up, girl. Foreign Office, Whitehall, what's going on?
I'm the son of a previously influential Persian family who got out of Iran during the Islamic Revolution. My family has connections, and from time to time we have made ourselves useful. I can't say anymore. From here on, this all needs to proceed as simply as possible. Just the two of you, Phil and Lisa.
I should be here too.
No, Stephen. Don't come in until the afternoon. Find something else to do.
You'll get your money in cash. That's how it's done. They load up, they go.
And what if I don't like the offer?
It won't be one to refuse, believe me. Take the money, then it's all over.
Hello. We found your camera. Here.
Thank you. Keep it. You look tired, Mr. Carter. Maybe you didn't sleep so well. I did.
Excuse me?
One sleeps more easily once you realize how the world really works.
I'm not following you.
Never mind. Thank you for being here early and cooperating. Shall we go?
I feel like I've been mugged.
But you are financially much better off.
Yeah, well, you've treated us like we're helpless.
You are. But we didn't murder you like the old Soviets would have, simply for the pleasure of it.
I want to hear what you know about the Golietkins.
Why not? The Golietkins didn't have any children. They were actually the servants of the woman they passed off as their daughter. She was the 28-year-old Princess Irina Alexandrovna. the only niece of the murdered Tsar Nicholas II. The table is one of a pair from the royal family's Zivadia Palace in Sebastopol. My boss has the other one, and he wants this very much indeed. The Bolsheviks decided to assassinate Irina Alexandrovna in your apartment. We know they got her servants, but she might have escaped.
So you don't know if she was actually killed?
I think perhaps she got away. There were reports of her being seen over the years. Of course, if we had got some Romanov DNA, then we'd know for sure. But your builders bleached the floorboards, didn't they? We have read Inspector Shaheen's file on the case.
So what if she got away?
Our boss and other men like him, well, they're always worried about the sudden appearance of a descendant of the Tsar. That would mean all bets are off regarding ownership of one or two palaces, one or two estates this side of Texas, and the drilling rights that go with them.
I see.
Who knows? Maybe she got away and had kids, and there are lots of little Romanovs in the world. They'd better watch out.
Dmitri, let's go!
You will not mention this outside of your circle of people here. If we see this as news anywhere on the internet, we will come back. You can be sure of that. You understand? Say, yes, I understand.
Yes, I understand.
Hello. I waited for them to go.
You're filthy.
I've been to the cemetery. Oh. It's amazing. I crawled in through a narrow space under a brickwork tomb thing. There's like a cavern inside, like in Doctor Who, this huge underground hall, all done out of like bricks. And there's this big machine in the middle, like a giant car jack, a table on top of an iron pillar. And that's what they use to bring down the coffins from the chapel up above.
Are you making this up?
Well, I'll take it if you want.
No, thanks.
Anyway, it stinks on account it gets flooded and there are hundreds of coffins all higgledy-piggledy. The South Metropolitan Cemetery Company. Catacombs, aisle 3, bay 4. I found them. Two coffins covered in leather with loads of big, like, copper nails on, labelled Goliadkin. And round the back, I found this.
But don't show me, I know what it is.
Go on then, you say.
It's a green tobacco tin made by WD and HO Wills, and it's got their name, Goliadkin, painted on it.
That's right. How did you know?
I was told.
Who by?
Never mind.
What's in it?
Lists.
What?
Names. All foreign sounding, with addresses beside them. England mostly, but some in Scotland.
Russians. I suppose it tells you where they went.
Have all the names really got addresses? No, don't say.
Lisa, you're scaring me.
Suppose her name's there.
Whose?
It wouldn't be right. The Goliadkins died for her. They didn't want anyone knowing. That's why they were so afraid. In case the royal bloodline could be traced. Oh, what are we going to do?
Ghosts, there are different kinds. And they don't have to be dead even. I had this friend and she went to be a social worker. She had a colleague who was bonkers because of ghosts. He had some really difficult cases, horrible, where other social workers got involved with clients. And this bloke was haunted by the people he'd shopped to the authorities. They'd look over his shoulder at him when he was in front of a mirror at home or looking out of a window. He covered all the mirrors in his house with towels and pillowcases, closed the curtains, and sat in the dark.
Comfortable carrying this much cash on me. I need to get to the bank.
Well, let's check the safe before we do anything else.
Well, the warehouse is still locked up. No intruders. All looks fine. should at least keep the bank off our back. I'll go over and pay it in after. God, it's even colder than usual. It's like a refrigerator.
I'll stand out here.
Well, we're all right, I think. No one's moved the furniture.
Undisturbed? Good.
You're worried that spirits might have got in here last night?
Are you being funny?
No. Just try to turn over a new leaf. Show that we can talk about anything you like.
How could they?
How could who what?
How could ghosts get into a safe? They don't have proper hands. Oh. What's wrong?
God. It's not here.
Show me. What have you done?
Nothing. You said yourself you checked it last night.
Did you come back here afterwards?
No, you know I didn't.
Stephen?
He doesn't have keys. He told me not to give him any, remember? I'm a bit afraid.
So am I. Do you think the Goliadkins are in here?
I don't know. They might be.
Might have been on guard for 90 years.
And everyone's got to live somewhere.
Even if they're dead. So, it had been an extraordinary week. Suddenly, we had enough cash to get us out of trouble for a while. Phil seemed to let go a bit, got more interested, curious. Maybe it was because of me and the Goliadkins, but I felt as if his light was coming on again. I think he started to believe that Andy was somewhere nearby. Surely it might now only take a little faith to make something special out of lives that have been blighted and paralysed. So, Carter and Sons, let's have a real go, shall we, Phil? Come on.
In the Carter Mysteries, The Incident of the Russian Visitors by Jonathan Holloway. Lisa was played by Jeannie Spark. Phil by Stephen Greif. Gull by Sheriff Durrani. And Stephen by Harry McIntyre. Dimitri was played by Stephen Critchlow.